It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, hello, folks. It is your old buddy Luke Clayton. It's once again time here on KETR to talk outdoors. Now, today, our guest is a special guest, Larry Wysoon, Mr. Whitetail. 99% of you probably watched Larry's Trailing the Hunter's Moon on TV and followed his career. Larry's a native Texan, went to A&M, a wildlife biologist, a world-class writer, and also, more importantly to me, a great friend. Larry is going to talk with us a little bit today. Larry, we really do appreciate you being with us, man.
Oh, look, after an introduction like that, which I dearly appreciate, I'm not sure that I can say anything that makes any sense after all that.
Well, I wished I cut it about half short. I could have went on and on. But the truth is, Larry, you've made a career in the outdoors. You're a degreed wildlife biologist. You've had a passion for hunting since you was a kid with you. Growing up down there in southeast Texas with your dad running hound dogs and
absolutely
grew up in the country like a lot of us did. But the truth is, you're a native Texan, made a career out of the outdoors, and I get to follow you. You know, we record just about every week for the hour-long hunting and fishing show that I do there at Catfish Radio. And I get to keep up with you pretty close, Larry, what you do. Of course, your forte is whitetail deer, thus the name Mr. Whitetail. So this recent rain that we've had this week, well, as recently as yesterday, and some of us have enjoyed, that's going to do wonders for all wildlife, but I know it's going to help the fawn survival for the whitetail.
Luke, you're exactly right. You know, the timing of the rut throughout Texas is such that 7.5 months later, those fawns are born at the most opportune time as far as nutrition is concerned. This rain that we had just recently in the last few days, and hopefully it's not over with, and hopefully it'll come back very quickly, but we had a goodly amount of rain scattered all over the state, and what that's going to do is grow a lot of dead gum weeds, which those of us here in the wildlife side of things call forbs, and those forbs are going to produce a tremendous amount of food in terms of forage for the deer, but also they'll end up producing a lot of hard-coated seeds for the game birds and the non-game birds and the songbirds. But when you look at it from a fawn survival rate sort of thing, because it's going to increase the nutrition of that doe, that mother, she's going to be able to produce more and better milk. And from the other side of that, the ground cover is going to create cover such that coyotes and bobcats are going to have a whole lot harder time trying to find those fawns right now. So that combination where you're creating cover and at the same time providing a great food source, and two, it won't be long in some instances where those fawns will start eating that forage as well. So it comes at an absolutely ideal time, and let's just hope we get a little bit more of it in the next several days.
You bet. You know, Larry, the whitetail fawns have just started right now hitting the ground up in this part of the world, and in the next 3 weeks or so, I know there's going to be a whole lot more. Now, when a whitetail doe gives birth, that fawn is pretty much scent free for a while. Is that true?
It is pretty much scent free. I mean, of course, there can be some things that cause problems so that it's not, but for the most part, for the first several days, it is going to be scent free. And that, too, with the ground cover that we're talking about, is going to make a lot of difference, because you get no ground cover, and like we've had a few years and occasionally have in South Texas, and all a coyote or a bobcat has to do is just kind of roam around looking, and they'll see that fawn laying there. So this cover is going to make all the much difference, amazingly. And again, you're right, because of the fact that there is no odor being really given off by that fawn. Predator's going to have a little bit harder time when the fawns are first born and finding them.
Right. Well, I'd like you to talk about when a fawn, say she has twins or you know, one single fawn, when the fawn is born, she doesn't stay right there at its side, does she?
No, most times she'll be there for just a little bit, you know, clean the fawn up, try to get him up, get to where he'll nurse. Then she'll try to lead that fawn off to a different place, totally different from where that fawn was born. Mm-hmm. And she'll just almost make that fawn lay down there. Then she'll roam off somewhere else so that her scent isn't around close to that fawn. And then she'll come back there periodically and nurse that fawn. But generally, a lot of times, too, when she does, she'll move that fawn to a new location.
It's amazing to me, Larry, that, and I've always wondered about this, you know, you think animals can't think. I've talked to animal behaviorists and everything, that, you know, an animal can't think. It really challenges me the way I look at it. okay, the fawn, the doe has had the fawn. Now, something is telling that doe that where the fawn was born, right there, there's going to be scent, you know.
Right, exactly.
Something, so I get, you know, whether it's genetics or trained, whatever, something is cluing that doe in that, hey, I've got to move this animal, because chances are if the fawn stayed right there where it was born, there would be plenty of scent within a matter of hours, wouldn't it?
You know? There would. A lot of animals have inborn instincts that have been developed over eons and eons of time, that those animals that did not do those sort of things, you know, they pretty much got eaten pretty quickly by predators. So part of that comes from instinct, and then part of it, too, I think, just comes from the knowing. I mean, they may have a little bit more reasonability than, you know, what we think they do, because I've seen some deer that I've been after hunting teach me some evil lessons numerous times, and they had to have been thinking not be where they're supposed to be when they normally were there in the past.
They didn't play it by the book, did they?
No.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a white-tailed deer to me. I don't know. They're just an awesome animal. They're my favorite game animal to hunt, but I haven't had the opportunity to hunt the places, most of us would think would be exotic places, Africa, and I know you're heading to Australia soon. But white-tailed deer, they are an awesome animal, and you let an old buck get over about 3 years old, he does become a different critter, doesn't he?
He does. I mean, it's like when, you know, most deer mature bodily, particularly into, we can have bigger bucks in the older age classes, because in part of the north, at about 3.5 years of age, their total skeletal muscle system is developed. And so, and in south part of our country, where most of us live down here, where I live, is at 4.5. So anything after that can be channeled in antler development that's not needed for maintenance. But it amazes me, if going into that third and fourth year, depending on where you are, it's like that deer walking up to a pond to get a drink of water, and all of a sudden he sees his reflection, and he goes, oh my gosh, I got a pretty good set of antlers, I'm mature, and everything about him changes. The deer that in the past was just kind of a big doofus, all of a sudden he becomes an expert at survival. You know, they become very nocturnal and just totally change the way of how they do things. So they're a fascinating animal. And to me, I've hunted them a long time. I've hunted them a lot of different places, pretty much all over North America and a little bit down in New Zealand. And I can tell you that they're one of the most fascinating, adaptable animals that I have ever encountered, no matter where we hunted or what species it was.
They're a challenge, and they keep us coming back and looking forward to fall every year. That's for sure.
Yes, they do.
That's for sure, Larry. Well, let's talk about your upcoming trip to Australia. Now, you've been invited down there, I think, to as a speaker, right?
Absolutely. I had a call one day from a friend of mine. He said, I got you going to Australia. And I said, oh, fantastic. I said, what's the deal? And he goes, well, he says, one of the companies that we're working with, a company called Maxbox, that produces a rest that can be used both in blinds and in vehicles and just on the ground, says they want to make a big push, and there's several companies down in Australia that would like for you to come down and speak to their association and their group, very similar to our SHOT Show that happens every wintertime or here in Vegas or someplace like that. And he said, well, I told him you'd be more than happy to come if they got you down there and took you on a buffalo hunt. And he said, so I've committed you in June to go down and spend some days at their SHOT Show, visit with a lot of the dealers and some of the sportsmen and the people down there. And he said, then they're going to put us on a plane and we're going to fly to the Northern Territories and hunt buffalo for about 4 or 5 days. And then get back to the States. He said, now I've already committed you. And he says, I'm sure you want to go, don't you? And I said, absolutely. Sign me up. Just tell me what the dates are so I can get them on the calendar, and I'll cancel what I need to beyond that. Because Australia is really one of those places I've always wanted to go. I've been fortunate. You know, it's a big island, but it's a continent. And once I hunt it, I will have hunted all the major continents in the world. And so, you know, beyond all that, there's some special reasons for going down too.
You bet you, man. Well, will you do some filming for your TV show Trailing the Hunter's Moon while you're there?
We will. Well, we're actually doing a TV show or be filmed for two or three different shows that air in Australia. But I've made arrangements so that I can get some of that footage, and one of our shows maybe about hunting Africa. we'll cover about a third of my hunt, a third of that show of hunting in Australia to show kind of a difference between that Asiatic buffalo that's down there mm-hmm. and also the Cape buffaloes and the Western Savannah buffaloes that are found in, or other different species of buffaloes actually found in Africa. So, yes, sir, we are. Some of it will appear on Trailing the Hunter's Moon.
Well, that's cool. Let's do this, Larry. Kind of describe, now, the logistics of this is a challenge, but you're going to need to get your rifle, ammo, everything. You're going to have to make sure you got a good scope set up. And all. Tell us about how do you get your gear over there?
But With Australia, it's going to be a little bit different. I mean, when I go to Africa, I've got my Ruger 375 Ruger guide gun topped with a Zeiss derelict scope shooting Hornady ammo that I take with me. And mm-hmm. basically, it's just making sure that you've got the permits and everything in order before you leave. And it's no big deal. It's just a matter of doing it. You need to be sure you get a 4457 from the customs, so showing that rifle serial number and the scope serial number so that when you bring it back, you've got proof that you didn't buy it abroad. Mm-hmm. But with the Australian thing, because Ruger does a lot of gun sales in Australia, and Hornady does a lot of ammo sales, and Zeiss does a lot of scope mm-hmm. sales and vinyl sales, I was able to talk to those companies, and they have made arrangements so that everything has already been shipped, and I'm going to be able to use a Ruger 375 guide gun and using the Hornady 300 grain DGX and DGS, the solid ammo, and then Zeiss has already sent a scope down. So in this instance, I won't have to carry one. But if I were going to take my own guns down, again, it would just be a matter of getting in touch with the outfitter they were hunting with, getting in touch with the airlines to make sure that everything is done properly in terms of the permits with the airline. And I'll be very frank with you there. I use a company called Traveling with Guns, owned by Steve Turner out of San Antonio, and they set up all of my flights for me on international, particularly where they're anything having to do with guns. They keep up with all the current gun laws that can change from a day-to-day basis, and as a result of that, I know exactly what I need to do and what permits I need and how to fill them out by dealing with Steve. And like I said, they're just absolutely fantastic. They're great about booking the flights like I need them, but also in terms of making sure that I can get my guns in and out and back to the U.S.
You bet. Boy, I could imagine, Larry, the red tape. If you had to, you wouldn't have time to film Trailer's Moon to doing all that. But I really do appreciate you being with us, man.
Luke, I tell you what, it's always a pleasure spending time with you. I mean, I look for opportunities. I talk about something I've got going on over kind of close to Rock Springs here for too very long, too. So I look forward to getting you over there.
Well, I look forward to it, Larry. And thanks again. I do want to mention to everyone, Larry, the Outdoor Expo, June the 14th and 15th in Will Rogers in Fort Worth, Will Rogers Auditorium over there. That's coming up. And, folks, you might want to plan on being there. You can go online to ggaproductions.org, and you can learn all about it. Larry, we'll get you back again soon. We'll talk some more deer hunting. What do you say?
I look forward to it, Luke. Thank you so very much.
Well, folks, that pretty much wraps up our show today. I appreciate you being with us. Today's show has been made possible by the Dallas Safari Club. The website is biggame.org. Snap-Lock Hunting Blinds. These blinds are lightweight, dry, and set up in minutes. The website is snaplockhuntingblinds.com. Sniper Hog Lights. That's Sniper, H-A-W-G, lights.com. The Raptor Razor, which is a tool I use for skinning and butchering game animals. That website is raptorazor.com. Night Sight, a unit that mounts on your scope and lights up the world at night for hunting hogs. That website is nightsightusa.com. NITESITEUSA.com. Darton Archery, makers of compound bows and crossbows. That's dartonarchery.com. And, of course, Catfish Radio, where I do a weekly hour-long hunting and fishing show. That's catfishradio.com. Folks, tune in this time next week. We're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.